Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. We are again doing an update on the Pathways to Empowerment campaign. A critical part of the Pathways campaign is harnessing the collective wisdom of family, self-advocates, and providers. And we are here with Executive Director John Dickerson to talk a little bit about a regional Pathways forum. Hi, John.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me back.
Thank you for being here.
It was just a year ago that we launched the Pathways campaign to really start thinking differently of where we were at and where we were going. It's even more important today than it was then because budgets are even tighter.
Sure.
At the federal level, we're talking about entitlement reform that would change the whole way we fund services and support. So it's just so timely that we're talking about it today. And we finished the Big Minds group looking at what is the real fundamental changes we need to make. And we've started the process of working with Indiana leaders on how to make those changes. And so now we want to go out and talk to families, self-advocates, and providers about the five fundamental issues that came out of the campaign that we need to get their thoughts on.
So what does that mean when you're talking to families, providers, self-advocates? Does it give them a sense of hope when you start to talk about, you know, what's going to happen and what changes are made?
It really does, because right now if you just watch the news and if you just listen to what's happening with your budget, perhaps, or as a mom emailed me this morning and said her son's budget went down by 50%. Mm. And this is a result of how they're assessing people and how they're giving money out. And as a result of where the budget's gone for the state of Indiana, then it looks pretty bleak. And the future just can be pretty darn depressing. But if we start with the idea that we are still working on all those problems. We're trying to help the people that are struggling with budgets that are changing. And some budgets are going up and people say, hey, that's good, I need more. Others are saying, it's going up but I don't need it. So we're still working on those problems and trying to make the system fair and equitable. But that still only addresses about 18,000 people that are in services. We still have over 22,000 on waiting lists. Mm-hmm. And we'll never get to them unless we do some of these fundamental reforms. So we're going to go out and talk to people about what does it mean when we say we're going to address these five critical areas and really simultaneously that, you know, the key is employment. And that means everything from paid work to volunteer internships. That we need to shift the power and we need to stop doing what doesn't work and do more of what does work.
So what does work?
Well, we went out and asked a focus group of that, and it was interesting. What they said is what really works is community, having relationships, working with people you like working with.
Right.
Key things. Because one of the things that we often do is we just place people in jobs, and they may hate what they're doing and who they're doing it with, but right. We say, oh, you got to stay there because now you got a job. And beginning to talk to people in a different way and even using a different language about it.
One of your goals is supporting resourcefulness of individuals, families, and communities. What does that mean?
Really good question. Out of this study, as we looked at what's working around the country, you know, the vast majority of people with disabilities live at home with their families.
Right.
How do we help the family be resourceful and use what they have and get greater community connections? John O'Brien helped us really rethink the whole idea of community, that we've got to look at how we support families, how we support neighborhoods and community groups, and help people come together. There's a great video on our website that Sharon Lewis, who is now the commissioner of the Administration on Developmental Disabilities. Sharon is a parent, has a daughter, Zoe, who is about 15 years old. And Zoe, this is the thing that didn't cost a dime, but they went to Trader Joe's, and I like giving a plug for Trader Joe's. And they discovered that if they could just put a balloon, and they give balloons out everywhere,
right,
around Zoe's wrist, that her mom could shop in the grocery store for an hour. Zoe could wander around the grocery store. Her mom could always know where she was.
There's that balloon.
Following the balloon. And the staff at Trader Joe's had gotten to know her and found that they knew if she got close to the door, she couldn't leave. Mom got an hour of break just to do shopping. Zoe got an hour of freedom. And everybody won. And the people at Trader Joe's loved her. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that may not be life-changing. It may not be the end-all, be-all.
For her, it is, though, yeah.
But for that hour, everybody wins, and it didn't cost a dime. Well, actually, it did cost a dime, the cost of the balloon, which Trader Joe's gave her. So it's that idea that how do we help families think about there's different things that you can do, including even while you're waiting, thinking about your son or daughter working, interning as a volunteer, being connected in the community. So it's all about a different mindset, and again, shifting that power away from being a victim and just being on the waiting list to what can I do for my son or daughter to be connected and involved in the community.
Are parents misinformed, do you think, or do they just need help?
Well, I think that we need to take some blame here. I think as the ARC and professionals, we have given a message that the waiting list is so important and getting off it is the goal. That we have taught them a bad lesson, that there's nothing you can do while you're waiting. Mm-hmm. And we want to get more waivers for folks. We want to get more people access to services and supports. But we've got to also get back to there's things you can do in your community. How do you use your SSI, for example? How do you make sure that you're building your skills? Well, how do you learn to be a carpenter?
Yeah.
How do you learn to carry the materials to the job site? How do you do one thing that begins leading you in that direction? And I think sometimes for people on the waiting list, we've given the wrong message, is that you've got to just sit there doing nothing while this is happening. Well, most families aren't doing nothing.
Right.
How do we give them a little support, a little training? There's interesting ideas like time banks, where families come together in co-ops and say, you help me out for 3 hours, you've earned 3 hours in the bank. You may get that from somebody else down the road. Of how do we do that? This idea of micro boards, of how do we get 5 people together around one person with a disability that has no resources, no services, no paid services in their life, and how do we support them on their goals and dreams of helping them through life? These are things we can do that don't cost much at all, but how do we change people's lives in doing that?
I really like this discovering and realizing individuals' unique gifts. Sally and I were talking off air. A lot of people, even I, didn't know what I could offer. You know, I didn't know where my direction was going. But then I came in contact with people who, you for one, were very instrumental in saying, okay, I know where you want to go and let's go. And so that to me is an extraordinary thing.
Well, and it sounds remarkably simpler than some of the things we've done in the past. But when we start thinking that everybody's got a gift, some are harder to figure out than others. And I was talking with one mom, and her son doesn't speak. Mm. He has very little bodily control. She said, well, I'm not sure what his gift is. And I said, well, what does he really like doing? How does he communicate to you things that he really likes? He said, well, he loves volunteering at the church. And I said, well, you just told me he doesn't control his body. He doesn't speak. What does he do at the church? Well, he helps these 3 ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's really cool. And what is it they really like about him being there? And they said it makes their day brighter, just him being around. That he helps with the trash, he keeps them company, he loves being there, they love having him there.
Mm-hmm.
He gets paid nothing for this. He's volunteering. The whole question came down to his gift may be making their jobs, which are pretty mundane,
mm-hmm.
and working in the church, taking care of paperwork and getting the bulletins printed. His gift may be making their life brighter. Now, that's a very different way for her to think about her son. And so as we start looking at everybody a little bit differently and looking for those gifts, some are very obvious to find. Some are a little harder to think through what they're being. But it's a mindset change for us that everybody's got a gift. How do we find a way to connect with that?
And even, I mean, you have connected with people with disabilities and their families for years. And when you sit down, even with the person dealing with the disability, What do they tell you?
Well, and you know, a lot of it is sometimes people feel they're being listened to for the first time. And I think when we start looking at people differently, they start seeing themselves differently, that they've got gifts. Because, you know, we often tell a story about, think if you walked into a room and there's eight people there and they all have a file about you. And all they're going to talk about is everything that's wrong with you and the things you can't do. That's not very uplifting.
No.
And we've got to change that whole dynamic of what we can do here.
So let's talk about how people get involved with this thing then, because this is amazing. So how do we have people get involved?
Well, there's three things. We're going to be doing these 10 forums, and they're on our website, and people can come and find out more information on that. It's www.arcind.org, and the information is there. So they can come to one near them. Mm-hmm. Secondly, they can go to the website, where we're also going to be gathering information and stories about this on the Pathways site, which is built into our website. Mm-hmm. And we hope people will continue to follow this and learn more about it and also share their questions, their stories, their good news, and their new ideas. Because our new ideas, our best ideas, come from individuals at the grassroots level, not necessarily from the State House or from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And this kind of change is going to start locally. And the third thing we want people to do is begin sharing with us what they're hearing from other folks and keep in touch with this, because as we start rolling this out, it's building a whole new wave of interest in doing things differently. We have a lot of problems to deal with today, no question about it. Mm-hmm. We have people that are hurting. We are seeing impacts of budgets that just make no sense to families. Mm-hmm. We can't give up on that. At the same time, we have got to do this redesigning for the future. And so we need people to help us on both hands right now as we move forward.
Well, this campaign, I tell you, every single time we do an update, I love it even more.
John Dickerson,
thank you so much.
Michelle, thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you.